Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Graduates, as you leave high school and begin college, or you leave college and begin to enter the workforce, you'll be faced with many choices, with many questions. Many decisions you're going to have to make, and maybe you might feel a little bit like this cartoon character. Which way did he go? Maybe you just changed the pronoun, though. Which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which way do you go? You are going to face some incredible choices, and like, what college should I go to? What subject, what major should I pursue? What job should I seek? How do I know what to do with my life? Knowing the right decision to make is crucial to success or failure. And this morning, I want to talk about a framework, how to make good decisions. Several weeks ago, I was reading an article by George Wood, who was the leader of the Assemblies of God in America, and he presented 8 questions for really graduates to consider. And as I read that, I thought, these are some good things. And so I want to share with you these 8 questions that George posed that all graduates, and he said not just graduates, but all of us as believers. Because how many know that important decisions just don't stop with graduation? Upon graduation, it's like, who am I going to marry? Sometimes we end up finding ourselves changing careers or having to change a career. And so these questions apply to all of us because all of us need to make good decisions all throughout the days of our lives. Now, take out your notes this morning. And by the way, this is the last Sunday of life groups. This is the last week of them, and so your homework is there. Everyone in life groups, make sure you do your homework as we wrap it up. Our life groups will begin again September 11th in the fall quarter. We take the summer off, and so we just want you to be aware of that. But the first question that you want to ask as you put together this framework for good decision-making is, what does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? What does the Bible say? And this is really the most important question. You see, the Bible is God's Word. I'm going to say that again. The Bible is God's Word. It's not man's idea. Man did not invent the concepts in the Bible. The concepts, the principles, the things that are in the Bible came directly from God. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of that this morning, because a few weeks from now, as we start our summer series deeper, I'm going to talk about the accuracy and reliability of the Bible, and we'll touch that in there. But maybe some of you here this morning, you're here with us for the very first time. Maybe it's your first time in church in a long time, or maybe ever. And you're thinking, you know, I really don't believe in the Bible. Maybe you sat under a professor in college who told you the Bible was a myth, and you haven't touched the Bible since then. Well, let me ask you a question today. Is there any other advice that you have followed from your college professor? Probably not. And if that's the only thing you're following, I encourage you to not just listen to what a college professor said, but to begin to study the Bible and research it out for yourself, whether it's true or not. You know, how do you know? That professor, he might be sitting in a church somewhere today just lamenting the fact about all those, you know, those innocent college freshmen that he misled by telling him it was a myth. And I just want to encourage you to seek it out for yourself to see whether it's true or not. Too often, as we look at this point about what does Scripture say, Christians look for supernatural revelation, something special about a decision they're facing without even looking at the Word of God. Here's the thing. If God has already said something about it in the Word, you don't need a special revelation. Okay? you want to first search the scriptures and say, are there any principles in the Bible that apply to this decision that I am faced with? I once had a young couple who was dating come to my office when I was pastoring in Iowa. And the girl, she was 20-something, daughter of a board member, active in ministry. And the young man had been coming to church, but there was really no evidence of him being a Christian. You just didn't see things. And this couple wants to get married. And one of the first questions I asked them is, how do your parents feel about it? And they both said, our parents feel fine. Now, the reason I asked that is because of this, is that Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, children should obey and honor their parents. That is a biblical precedent. And the thing is, God has given parents the leadership or the headship over their children. And so therefore, when you're considering making a decision about who you should marry, you want your parents' blessing. You want to honor their wishes and their desires in that. And this headship, this leadership does not change until marriage takes place. We see this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That headship doesn't stop upon graduation. That leadership doesn't stop when a young person moves out of the house. It happens when the father and mother say, yes, I give my approval to this new union, and now the two of you start your own leadership, your own headship over your family. And so that was the reason I asked the question. And it was interesting because I had had conversations with this young lady's father. He was one of my board members, and I knew they had some severe red flags about this relationship. I knew they weren't in favor of it. And I says, well, let's go talk to your parents. Let's talk to your parents. And as things begin to come out, it turns out that this young lady was pregnant by this young man. They wanted to get married. They felt they loved each other. But her parents said, no, we're just not for this. They did not feel he would be a good Christ-centered leader for their home. And so she had this choice. Am I going to be a single mom and raise them all by myself, or am I going to marry this guy that I really like, who's the father of my child? She chose to honor and obey her parents. You know what happened to the young man? He quit church just like that. There was really no interest in God. He was pursuing her, not the Jesus that she loved. And she waited, and it was so neat to see. A few years later, she met a young man. They fell in love, great Christian guy. They got married, and today she's an assistant worship leader in a church of 800. And her son, he's graduated, and he's serving God. She has three other kids. They're serving God. She has a great home. I just can't imagine what her life would be if she stayed with the first guy who really wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Sometimes as we're faced with decisions in life, we look at the short term right now. What's the best? What do I want now? But if you want a decision that's good for the long term, you need to look at what does Scripture say, and you need to follow Scripture. That is vitally important in making decisions, all right? That's the first question, all right? Question number two is, are you becoming the person God wants you to be? Are you becoming the person God wants you to be? As you read through the Bible, there's a theme that pops out, and it's this, and I alluded to it earlier in the service. God is more concerned with who you are than with what you do or where you go. God is more concerned with our character. Jesus pointed out that character determines action when he said in Luke chapter 6, 45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So here's the thing, and this is in your notes this morning. When you're faced with any choice, you must ask both these things. First, whether your motivation is Christ-like. Is your motivation for doing this, does it line up with Jesus? Would Jesus want to do that? And secondly, whether a decision will help or hinder the development of Christ-likeness in you. If there is a job, if there is a relationship, if there is any choice you're looking at doing, and it is going to hinder you in taking on more and more of the character and personality of Jesus, then you want to avoid that. So that is the second question you want to ask yourself. Because here's the thing, God doesn't care about your brains, about your brawn, about your beauty, or about your talent. He cares about your character, about who you are, about the person you're becoming. Peter, one of the apostles, one of the 12, wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps." God wants us to follow the steps of Jesus. And so this question, are you becoming the person God wants to be, is a second key thing that we need to ask in our framework of decision making. Okay, let's take a look at the third one here this morning. The third one is, what are your gifts and talents? What are your gifts and your talents? God gives all Christians spiritual gifts. Peter also told the believers in chapter 4, verse 10 of his first letter, he says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Peter says, how many have received a gift? Each one. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're gifted." Now respond, "Thank you, I knew that." Each one of you are gifted. And on top of this spiritual, supernatural gift God has given you, you also have special talents, special abilities, and special skills. So one of the things you want to ask when you're making a decision is, what are my gifts? What are my talents? And because here's the thing, if you have a spiritual gift of teaching, and you also have the talent of speaking in front of people, then it's a very good chance that maybe the job you have or the ministry you're involved in involves those teaching and speaking and being in front of people. If one of your talents is not being in front of people, then God's probably not called you to a ministry or to a job where you're going to have to be in front of people talking all the time. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So ask, what are your gifts and your talents? That's the third thing. Number four is, what do your Christian parents, mentors, and friends encourage you to consider? What do your Christian parents, friends, and mentors encourage you to consider? Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall." Everyone say fall. "But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Say safety. Now, how many even want to fall? Some of you want to fall? You want to fall down? How many want safety? I want safety in my decisions. And when we have godly advisors around us, it helps to guide us into good decision making. And the Lord has placed people into our lives for a purpose. They know us. They understand our character, our gifts, our talents. Many times because of their experience, they have been there, they've done that, they've walked down that road, so they can see things that you and I can't see when we're younger. And so young people, I really want to encourage you to ask I know your parents don't know anything, okay? Just wait a few years till you get in your mid-20s, okay? Things change. They get pretty smart at that point, all right? But ask your parents, ask Christian mentors, ask mature friends, those that are walking with Jesus, what do they encourage you to consider? That's how Timothy found God's will for his life. You see, Timothy never had this, this epiphany, this divine revelation of God that he was called to ministry. You see, Timothy lived in a little town tucked away in a high plateau off the beaten track. It was called Lystra. And when the Apostle Paul came through, he saw Timothy, he saw something in him, and he asked him to join his team. And Timothy discerned God's will for his life by his mentor, Paul. And there's some of us, now here's the thing, your mentor and your parents and all these people you go to should not set the direction, okay? They should be a confirmation of what God has directed you to do, okay? If someone comes up to you and says, you know, God told you to marry so-and-so. God told you to go to China and be a missionary. If that doesn't resonate in your heart, don't listen to it, okay? Those times when people come to you, it should be confirmation on something that you're sensing, that you're thinking, this is what God wants. Now, if you go to them and you ask a question and they are giving you opposite information, if every person you go to tells you something opposite of what you think you should do, seriously consider what God is saying to you. God speaks to us through a multitude of godly counselors. You can find safety in decision-making when you do that. All right, question number 5 in our framework of making decisions is this. What circumstances are you going through that may provide direction? What circumstances are you going through that may provide direction? Circumstances can prepare you for what God wants to do in your life. Luke wrote one of the Gospels, and the Gospels are there's 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Gospels tell about the life and the ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Luke wrote a Gospel, and it was based upon his personal interaction, personal interviews with people that lived and walked and spent time with Jesus. We see that in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. However, Luke never would have had the opportunity to have these eyewitness interviews except for a circumstance that happened. There was an assassination attempt on the Apostle Paul's life, and because of that, Paul was forced to change his schedule. And when he traveled, he came to Philippi. We see this in Acts chapter 20, verse 3 to 6. And in Philippi, he picked up Luke, and then he went to Israel. And as Luke is in Israel, he meets all these people in eyewitness accounts, and God gives him this desire to write a gospel, to write an accurate account of what happened to Jesus. The circumstances of Luke's life helped guide and give him direction for the future. So that's something you need to ask yourself. And I've experienced this in my own life. You see, when I first started ministry, I was a youth pastor, and I thought I was going to be a youth pastor for life. How many of you know I was wrong? Yeah, but that's what I thought. And here's the thing. My senior pastor, he gave me a lot of other things to do besides youth ministry. Really, I was a church administrator. There were some weeks I was just doing the youth service and doing nothing else, and I was doing all the things that were running the church. And you know what? I hated it. It was like, Yosemite Sam or something like, you know, it was like, man, doesn't he know I'm called to be a youth pastor for life? I don't need to do this stuff. This is not part of my calling and stuff. But 4 years later, when God began to lay on my heart a burden for marriages and families, and I ended up being a lead pastor in a church, all of a sudden, all the experiences, all the things that he had me do prepared me for that. So young people, old people, realize that everything you're going through right now is preparation for God's next phase of your life. Everything you're going through now, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it is preparation. And you might chafe under it. You might say, I don't want to go through this. But realize God is using circumstances to prepare you to walk in his will. And so ask yourself now, what circumstances am I in that God might be trying to guide me, that can provide direction for the next step of my life? Okay? That is the 5th question to ask as you make decisions. Number six, it says, have you received supernatural revelation? Have you received supernatural revelation? How wonderful it would be if you woke up in the morning and God just said to you, you know, whatever it is, go to Africa, you know, wear this, do that, invest in this. Oh, yeah. I mean, how many could handle that kind of a financial advice? You know, invest in this stock. I mean, that would be great. But you know what? God generally doesn't do that. God generally doesn't give specific vision of an audible voice or you know, something that we see or whatever. He doesn't work that way. Now, he does work that way sometimes. We see this in Moses, Exodus 3. God shows up in a burning bush. You know, have you ever thought, God, just show up in a burning toaster and talk to me for my Pop-Tarts? You know, that would be nice. You know, he showed up in a burning bush to Moses, and God says, lead Israel out of Egypt. He appears to Isaiah. Isaiah has this vision of the throne room of God, and God's glory is there. And God says, who's going to go for me? Who's going to speak for me? And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. We see this with the Apostle Paul. He is not a Christian yet. He's on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, to throw them into jail. And all of a sudden, a bright light hits him in the face, knocks him off his horse, and he hears from heaven a voice saying, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he says, well, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus. And then he calls him to be a missionary to non-Jewish people all over the world. God does work in supernatural ways sometimes. Not usually, but here's something I've noticed. When you look at people like Moses and Isaiah and Paul and others, when God speaks to people supernaturally, they usually have a heavier burden to bear later on. And it's this supernatural revelation that they need to go back to remind them, yes, this is God spoke to me. This was not just bad pizza. I didn't wake up one morning and say, yeah, lead them out of Israel. But no, I know I had a supernatural experience with God. And so some of you here today, you're praying for, oh, God, talk to me, show up. Let me just ask you, are you ready for the hardships that usually accompany that? If God does do that, realize you probably have a special assignment from him. And here's something else. These guys, these men and women in the Bible that had supernatural revelation, God showed up unannounced. They weren't looking for it. It surprised them. Usually when God does something supernatural, it's when you least suspect it. And so, yeah, you can seek it, but realize that you should seek God for direction all the time. But it may come when you least suspect it, all right? So, let's review here. We're on the home stretch. What is the first thing, the first question we need to ask in our framework of decision-making? What is the first one? What does Scripture say? Number two, are you becoming the person God wants you to be? Number three, what are your gifts and talents? Number four, what do your Christian parents, mentors, friends encourage you to consider? Number five, what circumstances are you going through? Number six, have you received supernatural revelation? Number seven, if you're taking notes this morning, what impressions come to your heart as you worship, pray, and read the Word? What impressions come to your heart as you worship, pray, and read the Word? You know, besides visions and supernatural revelations, we see in the book of Acts that the early Christians experienced the leading of the Holy Spirit in three ways. And you can write these references down. The first one is prayer in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Prayer in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Peter was praying, and God spoke to him and said, I want you to go to the Gentiles. He was just having his regular devotional time, and God spoke to him as he was praying. We see in Acts 1:20, they were reading God's word, okay? The disciples read Psalm 109, verse 8, that someone else should take the office of apostle. That was vacated when Judas betrayed Jesus. And when they read that, as they were reading the Word of God, these 10 days of prayer and fasting, God revealed to them, you need someone else. And so that guided them and directed them. And then a third example is worship, found in Acts chapter 13. As the church worshiped, they realized God called Barnabas and Paul to do missions work. And so I want to encourage you. Here's the thing. You need to develop a vibrant devotional life. Because these three ways, prayer, worship, and reading the Word, are three of the main ways that God gives us direction for our life. And if you're not having a regular, consistent time with God, you are limiting how much God is going to say to you. How many of you want to hear from God? How many want to hear a lot, not sparingly? Several of you. Then be a person who is consistent in their spiritual disciplines. When you are praying, is there any impressions? What do you sense God saying, giving you any burdens, prompting you to do anything, make any phone calls? What comes to mind as you pray? As you're lifting your voice in worship, maybe alone or even sometimes in church with other people or wherever it may be, what impressions come to your heart? Has anything come to you? How about when you read the Bible? When you read the Bible, does anything, do you feel like God speaks to you? Is there a verse that just kind of stands out that this is what you should do? I remember hearing the story of my in-laws, Rebecca's parents, and they were seeking God for direction in their life, and they came to a scripture and was like, go west to the mountains. And they were considering what they should do in their life, and they were considering going to Oregon over the mountains. And when this verse came, or they read that, it was just like, boom! They felt it was God, and they knew that's what God wanted them to do, so they moved. Myself, when I was in junior high, I was saying, God, show me what you want me to do with my life. I thought maybe I'm called to ministry. I was also considering computer science, politics, and law, okay? There was a lot of things there. And my pastor, you see, this is number four, what the Christian parents, mentors, and friends say, he encouraged me, ask God to give you a word from Scripture about what to do for your life. He says, if you're called to ministry, ask God to give you a word. And so I had been doing that for several years since I was in the seventh grade. And it was summertime. One Sunday morning, I was about to enter my sophomore year of high school. And I came to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And these verses, it says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And all of a sudden, those words in the page, it was like they jumped out and they were on a pedestal 2 inches high. And I heard an inaudible voice, the Holy Spirit say, this is it. And I knew that God called me to ministry. And immediately I had those words memorized. That was over 30 years ago. And I still have them today. It was that quick, that easy. It was God just, boom, planted that word in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, and I knew. Now I will say that is the only time that Scripture has been that dynamic. I mean, yes, Scripture speaks to me, but I've never had it jump off the page and heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say something to me like I did at that moment. So it's not like that happens all the time. But there are times that God may speak to you through His Word, through worship, and through prayer. So develop those spiritual disciplines in your life. Okay, let's look at the last question that you and I need to ask as we make decisions to guide our lives, and it's this: what do you want to do? I bet you didn't think that was going to be one, huh? What do you want to do? This is what Psalm 37, verse 4 in the NIV says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This verse has a command. Take delight in the Lord, and as a promise, He will give you. You see, here's the thing. When you're delighting in God, when you're delighting in God's heart, then your desires become His desires, and so naturally, He's going to want to give you your desires because they're His desires. So if you are delighting in God, God is going to give you desires, and those desires, those things you want to do, come from Him. Jesus said something similar in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, when we prioritize God's kingdom, when our heart is in the right place, then the Lord may leave decisions up to us. And we see this with the life of Paul in the book of Acts. On Paul's first missionary journey, that was started by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, notice this, the Holy Spirit said. the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called to them. And that started the first missionary journey. But after they were finished with the journey, later on, the second missionary journey was Paul's idea, not the Holy Spirit's. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we've preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Paul made this rational decision to revisit the churches they had planted. It's not that he was praying and God said, go back. No, he just had this desire that was put in him. And God does that sometimes. God gives you desires. Now, here's the thing. These desires need to line up with the other principles, okay? They need to line up with Scripture. God's not going to give you a desire that violates the things that have been laid down in the Word of God. They should line up with you know, all these different things we've been talking about. And so this morning, what has God placed on your heart? What are some of the desires? What are some of the things you want to do? Maybe you say, I don't know. I have no idea. You know what you need to do? Just get alone with God and say, God, begin to reveal yourself to me. Begin to talk to me. This morning, how many of you, whether you're a young person, you've just graduated, maybe you're still in school, or maybe you're an adult, you would say, I need some guidance from God in my life. How many of you would say that? I need to know what God wants me to do. See, there's some of you here, you're at a crossroads, and you need direction. Some of you, you've been seeking God and not hearing any answers. There's some of you, you're frustrated because you're not hearing God. I want everyone this morning to bow your heads and close your eyes.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.